When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 133. Going to recap your week 20 fab action, of course, Vaughn Grissom, and much, much more. Before we do that, introductions as usual. I'm on Twitter at BDintric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby G, how we doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well, Bubba. You know, just continuing on in the season. You know, we're getting closer. It's like week 20 of Fab, I think, which means we've only got six more coming up, which is kind of ridiculous refreshing to think about. Yeah, refreshing. And I know that's, I think about that and I'm like, wow, I get my Saturday night back and Sundays sometimes. So no, but it's good. You know, things are good. Things are funny. I'm having like a decent season, but it's, I posted a tweet earlier in the week because I had three teams, like my three biggest teams, three of my four biggest teams, I was in second place in all of them and 107.5 points in every single one of them, like that's super consistent. Yeah. What I didn't show is if you even track that further, I'm in second in my super, my two mains, my OC, TGFBI, and I was in second in bar for a little bit. I'm no longer anymore, but it's literally like just all second place. And the sad thing is, with the exception of maybe one or two leagues, well, maybe three or four, but like it's going to be a little bit of a tough go to get to win. So hopefully I can pull off one or two of them.
It's kind of funny you mentioned that because I was looking over my stuff and I'm not a bunch of second place teams. I'm like anywhere from like fifth to seventh still in many. And it goes back to like maybe the whole diversification in drafts might be a good idea because you can tell like I drafted a lot of the same players and they're all doing about the same thing. But I was looking at like what you just said is in almost every league, the first place team's like so far ahead of second. Like I could probably move from anywhere to like third if I run hot, maybe second, depending if I like I could cash basically if I get things going. But to get to first is probably next to impossible. Like it's just so then it's like how to, the grind becomes really interesting to say the least. So that's the story I'm sticking to right now. And then of course the free leagues I'm doing great in, so that's always fun. But
the battle of the pods, huh?
That one barf. I'm not, like,
yeah. What is it?
No,
what,
not battle of the pods. Arizona Fall.
First pitch Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah. That one, you know, I was up to like third in Raz Slam, and then that's kind of fallen back the last week. Barf doing well. TGFBI has been but it's just funny that those ones are going just fine. And so that's a whole other discussion probably for many other people to have. But we'll have some fun here. We'll talk some Fab, and I mentioned Vaughn Grissom because we'll get to him. He's the obvious go top guy. but it'll be fun next week. It's just a precursor to next week. I just tweeted it out before we started because I saw some more news. There's already, it's Tuesday night, and there's been about three or four prospects already called up this week. And so, like, last week, it was all like, oh, Von Grissom, probably the last main guy to get called up and all this stuff. No, like, Esteban Florial just got said he's probably getting called up tomorrow for the Yankees. You got Brett Beatty got called up today. You have Langiers for the A's. I believe it's Thompson or something for the Tigers is playing well. Like, there's a bunch of dudes that could be kind of impactful players down the stretch. It could be very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like that's how I feel like it's always our minds playing tricks on us, you know?
Yep.
What's that? There's a song that says our minds playing trick, mind playing trick on you. I can't remember what it is. It's probably one of the 90s songs I've been listening to recently. But yeah, I feel like every fab period, it feels like there's this massive sense of urgency, you know, like,
yep,
this, I need to do this now. I need to get this guy. I need to bid this much. If I lose out on them, it's over. Like, that's how I always feel. It's like every week it's somebody different, you know, which, yep, is probably a good sign that maybe, like, it's not as urgent. I mean, it is urgent because we're getting towards the back end of the season. But again, as with so many waiver wire ads, so many of them are the same guys, you know, yep, and it's just a matter of schedule, playing time, lineup position, things like that, that really determine that value and luck. I mean, yep, luck plays such a huge factor, getting the right timing on guys. And it's 100%. Weird how, like, in some leagues, I feel like, and maybe this is just the difference, is in some leagues, it feels like you're always hitting that lucky reliever win, or you're doing that. And then in other leagues, it feels like you can't catch a break, you know?
Yep.
So.
No, it's true. And I can't wait till we review our fab for the week, because I got some thoughts on a lot of things you just said, because I finally spent some money this week and now I'm sitting there going, should I have waited? This is going to be fun. So yeah, it's like, but I'll talk more about it. But yeah, I had a lot of the mindset you were discussing right there. But let's get into it. Von Grissom, as I've said a million times already, added in every OC league, 189 leagues, as high as $500. So as Toby and I were kind of joking beforehand, basically, I believe that would be somebody that wasn't paying attention most of the season and decided, oh, wait, this new prospect got called up, let me spend some money. So that's their right. You can't tell them they can't do that. It's very frustrating, though, if you're trying to be competitive in a league. So that's the tilting part. But Grissom's been as advertised, got a hit again tonight, but he's hit safely in all but one game, multiple hits in four games, couple home runs, stolen base, looked good in the minors in double A, single A. So looks as advertised. Playing time's the question when Albies gets back, but if he hits, he's gonna play. So what's your thoughts on Grissom?
Yeah, I mean, I see why people were so excited about him. You know, he was really, like, under my radar, honestly. I think that's a major weakness I have, is just not really having a great hold or grasp on which guys are coming up. But just listen, like, decent walk rate, speed, power, has played really well this year on a team like Atlanta that really has shown that they're willing to promote folks. And then you look at, like, the bad X projection. I mean, it's not as high on the power and the speed necessarily, you know, but 265 batting average, playing every day, at least until Albies gets back. Probably, I mean, if he continues to play like this, then there's no reason not to play him over some other guys. So yeah, I think it's a smart pick. I wasn't super aggressive this week, less because it was Grissom, but more, I think this week, I kind of looked at the landscape and I was like, you know, not going to be as aggressive, or I have particular needs that will determine, you know, how aggressive I'm going to be with certain guys. But can definitely see the appeal for sure. Can understand why people were really aggressive with him. He definitely seems like a guy who could get hot and really help propel a lot of teams towards championships.
Yeah, I was quite aggressive on him compared to my normal bidding. I got him in a lot of places. I love he's basically a five category guy. Like, he's an absolute stud in that regard. He's one of the Braves' top prospects. When they bring guys up from Double A, there's a reason. Look at Harris, who's actually getting negotiated for a 7 or 8 year deal right now with the Braves, because that's what they do. They sign these guys young, and it's ridiculous. So they have a track record. He's better than Orlando Arcia, and he's already proving that. So it's like, when Arcia comes back from the IL, it'd be hard to put Arcia in for him. They could. Anything can happen. Albies is back, I think, in 2 to 3 weeks, but you can always have a setback. That's always possible in rehab. And if Grissom's hitting, like, There's no reason. Eddie, the Eagle just got hurt again. Ozuna's been bad. So like, there's ways to get Grissom's bat in the lineup with Ozzie Albies if necessary. So that's what I'm shooting for. We'll see. The Braves are still fighting to take down the Mets as they're playing from behind on them on the season. So we'll see how it goes. But that's why I was a little aggressive on him going all five categories there, especially at second base, because I lost Tim Anderson in a lot of leagues this week. So that filled MI for me very well. All right, Joey, I'm going to probably butcher it, Menezes. I would call him Menezes, but it's probably Menezes. Of the Washington Nationals, called up on August 2nd after the Soto and Josh Bell deals, and he's playing every day. He's hitting all but one game so far, hitting .385 with five home runs, not striking out a ton, been very, very good filling in. He's kind of a journeyman, I'll say that much. He's been around for a bit, so I was kind of hesitant on him. It's one of those guys that, you know, we talk about it. There's a lot of guys that are similar. To me, he seems like a similar guy, and we might have already missed his best moments. I could be wrong. But what's your thoughts on Joey? I could see both sides of the spectrum here.
Joey!
Yes, the wrong Joey, but yes, Joey.
I know. There's many Joeys. I'm wearing my Padres hat today. Not for Joe Musgrove, but just because it matches with my outfit. If you agree with this, please, in the comments, let us know that you agree with my outfit combination of the red shirt with the San Diego Padres hat. If you disagree with it, you know, don't say anything.
Comment on the sleeper on the bust.
Yeah, for sure. Joey, he was towards the top of most of my bid list, but not super aggressive with him. I was below, I think I might've gone to $13 on a couple of them, but that's kind of where I was with Grissom as well. But I got him only in TGFBI. You know who he reminds me a little bit is Schwindel. Because older guy comes up, decent contact skills, not necessarily like massive power, but if he puts the ball in play enough where he can kind of run into these kind of hot spells and then has a decent schedule coming up. That was really what had me being more aggressive with him is the playing time where he's hitting and then, you know, the schedule. He's got the Cubs for 3 to start off the week, 7 for the whole week, you know, which is really nice. It's not horribly sustainable. I mean, you mentioned the K rate being low, which is really nice. He's got a .370 BABIP. We know that's going to change. Home run per fly ball is at 50%. He's got 5 barrels and 5 home runs, but it is a really nice 15.6% barrel rate. You know, the exit velocity is nice overall at 92.2, small sample, but the max EV isn't great at 108.6, especially for a guy that maybe you're looking for a little bit of power. So I'd guess that, you know, again, nothing like you need to be a rocket scientist to determine, but seems like that power, you're just hoping to get a little lucky and for him to get some regression next year, like Frank Schwindel got. So I think over the longer term, you know, not necessarily a guy that's all that interesting, but in the short term can definitely do some damage. And I think the Nats, they only got 5 games next week, but they do have 3 against Cincy at the back end of the week. So they really seem like they are playable. You know, he's playable in essentially 3 out of the next 4 NFBC playing periods. So that's pretty nice. And then when he gets into the AL East pitching or like the better AL East pitching, then you can kind of move on from him.
Yeah, no, it's one of those guys, like I said, we talk about a lot of outfielders every week that you can kind of play him, dump him, play him, dump him. He feels like one of those guys for now. Could be wrong. He could go Schwindel, like you said. It's a great comp. As a journeyman, maybe he's figured it out, and he can run hot for a month. That's very, very possible. So it's an interesting move for sure. Next up, Justin Steele picked up in 88 leagues, as high as $68. I talked a lot about him last week. I picked him up everywhere last week for his good start and his two-step this week. He came out 6 shutout with 5 Ks on tonight in his first part of the two-step. He's been pretty effective over his last, you know, 4 or 5 starts. Strikeouts have been up. Slider usage has improved in a big, big way for him. The one caveat I will say is they do monitor his pitches pretty well. It seems like he's about 90 to 95 pitches a start. That's why some starts he's like 3 2/3, 4 innings, went 6 tonight. So just keep an eye on that. That could be something that they would try to monitor him to get him to the finish line. They have Wade Miley coming back soon as well. So that is something that might affect his playing time. But for now, I love the matchups we had, and so far so good. So what's your thoughts on Justin Steele?
Yeah, let's take a look at Justin. You know, he's one of those guys I know. I remember, I think I made fun of him earlier on in the year, but it's another reminder to just, you got to keep paying attention to these guys and tracking these guys. You never know what the change is going to be that leads to that dramatic impact. Like, his in-zone contact is bad, but he's more kind of like a sinker baller type guy. You know, the O swing has really improved. I'm going over the last five games. It's close to 34%. Accordingly, the walk rate's down at 6.3%, which is pretty big for him because walks have been a little bit of a struggle. The swinging strike rate is up to 10.5%. The K rate is at 26.8%. So you're looking at over a 20% K minus walk over his last five. I don't know if there's anything in particular. Let me just check the velo. Velo's down.
A lot of it's his slider. He's increased the slider quite a bit. From what I've seen.
Slider increased recently for sure, 37.5%. You know, the key with that, like one of the things that's really hard to judge overall is with that slider usage, it's like he's a lefty. So he's probably using that slider a lot more often against left-handed batters. And so you just never know like who they're facing, you know? So it's like, you know, the Nats, you know, I can't think quick enough about like these various lineups, but I know like Miami, who we pitched really well against, they're god awful against lefties. Like throw any lefty against the Marlins at this point in time, but some decent lineups, you know, the Giants, the whatever the Philadelphia team is called, the Phillies, Baltimore, you know, so he's pitched pretty well. And I think the metrics are improving. The increase in the slider usage is nice. And just to look really quickly, like that slider, it's got a 14.6% swinging strike rate, 37.9%. You know, it's not super effective in the zone, so it's not a dominant pitch, but it's been effective for him. Probably generates a lot of ground balls, too, would be my guess. Let's see. No, it generates a lot of, actually, the exact opposite. A lot of fly balls, so not a lot of hits, probably the low home run total. But anyways, way too much on Justin Steele there. He seems to be improving. You know, but like you mentioned, I mean, even when you look at his game log and against the Marlins, he pitched beautifully and he was only 4 2/3. Yep. So that's tough. And like guys like that, it's just the ceiling is so low, I feel like, and the floor is high when you give up as much contact as he does sometimes. So
yep. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him. I think they'll probably monitor him the rest of the way, and it could lead to skip starts or just shut down, see where it goes, because they kind of want him going forward. So that'll be a interesting situation to be in. This next pickup was pretty simple. Lance McCullers is added in 80 leagues, as high as 248. I understood paying this. 6 shutout, 4 walks, though, 5 Ks. It was the Oakland A's. He threw 81 pitches. But like his rehab starts were getting pretty good towards the end. This start was – it was very promising, let's put it that way. I think there's still like it was 81 pitches. Maybe we see 90 next time. I don't know how far they're actually going to let him go, though. They're going 6-man rotation right now, it looks like. He's going to be very good. At least he should be very good, let me say. But they are going to – I'd still temper my expectations a bit, but still a pretty elite arm if he's locked in. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, there's not much to add here. Like, he's a fantastic add, you know, if he was still on your waiver wire, for sure. He's one of those guys where – God, stashing is a beautiful thing. It's always like this tension between, you know, it's just like, oh, it seems so far away. But honestly, like, I feel like my best pickups every year are some sort of not long-term stash, but a shorter-term stash. Yeah. You know, like I picked up Wander in a couple places, you know, a couple weeks ago. I think hopefully that will pay huge dividends.
He had a setback tonight, just throwing that out there to you.
Oh, did Wander have a setback?
He left the game early, is what I saw. That was the headline I saw.
How do you know he's not just called up
early? I don't know. He might be. He might have got the call. I'm just giving you a heads up. Just letting you know they left early tonight.
Never mind. They never work.
Sorry. Sorry. Bearing a bad news.
No, that's all right. No, but I just feel like it's kind of guys like that. Last year for me on a team was Joey Votto. He was dropped early on. You know, kind of pick him up with a few weeks to go and then kind of plug him in. There's somebody else that I did that to recently.
There was a lot of people. There's a lot of places this week I was putting bids in for Ozzie Albies wherever he was available.
Yeah.
Just like start throwing him in now. Yeah.
Yes. It was Albies. But who is the other guy that was on there? Oh, Gene Segura.
Yes.
Gene Segura has been, you know, great. I mean, he's not like hitting for a ton of power, but he's been stealing some bases, good batting average. God, I really wish he'd played a full season with the way he started. Oh my God.
I had him in a lot
of all the teams I needed to.
Yeah.
What could have been? What could have been?
Yep, it could have been. It's the luck factor you talked about. The Franmil is back, folks. I am not afraid to say it in a small sample size. Franmil Reyes, 79 leagues, as high as 154. He had a home run and two more hits tonight. He has hit in every game at least one hit. And he didn't strike out tonight either. That's the impressive part. Zero strikeouts tonight. He has hit safely in every game for the Cubs. He's got two home runs now. He's looking great. Sometimes it's something as simple as a change of scenery. Like there was obviously like a lot of us talked about it. When he got DFA'd, it's like, okay, go get your stuff right. He played one game and got released. There was bad blood during the COVID days with him and the Guardians because he wasn't following the rules. Like there had to be something else, basically, because now he's in Chicago. He's smiling. He's playing well. Change of scenery has done wonders. He's going to strike out a ton still, but he's hitting like Franmil, at least in this small sample, but he looks good. He looks happy, and he legit could be a game changer for these last like 6 weeks.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, you know, like if you look at his 1 day sample, he's got a 286 WRC plus. So I think he's back. Yeah. I mean, like oftentimes I feel like it's just something as simple as, like his home run per fly ball rate, you know, like he's at 16.1% this year. Obviously the ball, you know, earlier on in the year, especially was a little bit of a problematic, but career, he's at 26.7%. So he's 10% below on home run per fly ball. When you look at his barrels, he's got 26 and only 10 home runs. So there's been a lack of luck there. At least he should be at like, you know, 16, 17, you know, something like that. And so oftentimes over the longer sample, guys will kind of make that up. Even if you look at what his 600 plate appearance pace this year is 222, which isn't good. But still, he's given you 20 home runs, you know, 50 runs, 64 RBI, which sounds like nothing. But honestly, like this year, it feels like something. So I would expect that luck to change a little bit. And as you mentioned, maybe it already has. You know, they're giving him run. I wasn't super aggressive on him this week, but I was definitely in on him where I need power and RBI. And so hopefully he can put together a good little run here to end the season.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. That's one of those guys I'd be willing to gamble on. So, and go and see what you got to do there. This one I kind of stayed away from. I know the prospect pedigree grade. He looked lost San Diego. CJ Abrams came over in the Juan Soto deal, got called back up. Looks like he's going to play pretty much every day at shortstop. And then when Luis Garcia comes back, I think Garcia will slot in at second base, they're saying. So Abrams should get some solid run to finish the season. He was picked up in 72 leagues, as high as $98. Like I said, the prospect pedigree is great. He just hasn't been able to show it in the bigs yet. And he played great in the minors, hitting .310, seven homers, 14 stolen bases. It was just a matter of transferring to the bigs. Could have been with the Padres' trouble. Maybe the Nats get it going for him. Who knows? But at worst, he's going to get playing time most likely for the rest of the season. So what's your thoughts on CJ Abrams?
Yeah, I mean, Abrams, he's interesting. I mean, he's got a little bit of power. He's got a little bit of speed. So you look with that. You know, Baddex has him projected for 139 plate appearances, 232, two home runs, four steals. So not great, but the Nats ballpark is definitely an upgrade, particularly for, he's a lefty, right? Yeah. Particularly for a lefty. You know, I think the area where he's struggling is with his plate discipline. You know, he's chasing 45% of pitches outside the zone, which is never a super great recipe for success, because even when you're making contact, it's generally not good. He has been a little unlucky. The 267 BABIP, and I think in particular, he's got about a 15% line drive rate. And so that's pretty low. I don't know where his usual will be, but I think over the longer term that, you know, kind of gets closer to the league average of 20, 21, and then you see some more hits drop. He doesn't strike out a lot, so he does put the ball in play a decent amount, which can allow him to go on some streaks when things get a little lucky. Barrel rate isn't terrible at 5%, especially for a guy with his speed a little bit. And again, Nats Park is a good park, hitting park overall. It's pretty underrated. So yeah, I can definitely see going for him. They should give him run at the end of the year, play every day. I think that's good.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I could see the appeal, especially in 15s and deeper, 100% could see the appeal. 12's a little trickier for me. It's like, okay, quick question for you. Would you rather of picked up Vaughn Grissom knowing he could lose playing time in 2 to 3 weeks, or CJ Abrams knowing he's going to probably play the whole season?
Grissom, I would.
Okay. Yeah. What about Vaughn Grissom versus Nick Gordon?
It's a tough one for me. I'd probably go Grissom.
Okay.
The thing about Gordon is I see it all, right? Yeah. Like, I think we talked about it last time. Like, yeah, everything is good.
Really good.
But he still hasn't produced. And for me, he seems like a guy for next year, where I feel like he's kind of settling in. Like, the skills are looking really nice, but he hasn't really put it all together. And again, it could just be bad luck, you know, on the home run per fly ball or something like that. But it just feels like maybe next year, instead of working on like getting the fundamentals in place, he's now got the fundamentals in place and he can kind of take the next step. I know he's added some weight after some digestive issues that he had last year. And so maybe like with another summer, some more working out, you know, increase that bat speed a little bit and bump up the production. So I like both, but I would lean Grissom for right now, especially because, you know, you don't have to worry as much about the split stuff.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a fun one with Gordon, because he had a decent game tonight. But I was talking to Brandon Warren, who covers the Twins, and Grissom was playing like every day, and then guys started, like Kepler came back and a few others, then he sat versus two straight lefties, then he started against another lefty. So it's like he's like plays 50% of the time versus lefties and all the time versus righties. So it's like a 75% playing time. It's a weird little dynamic with Gordon, but definitely someone to monitor going into the next season, no doubt about that. All right, Paul DeJong picked up in 67 leagues, as high as $51, with some struggles in St. Louis. DeJong came back from the IL on July 30th. Dude's hitting .292 with four homers, five doubles, 13 RBIs. Still strikes out a ton, 30% K rate. But he's showing some serious offensive production. It's not that long ago where we were playing DeJong pretty regularly in fantasy, where he was a consistent player. Last year was rough. The start of this season was rough. It's not out of the realm to think he can put it together for a month. I wasn't in on him, but what's your thoughts on Paul DeJong?
Yeah, I think there are some positive signs. You know, and the one caveat I will put on this is he's played some crappy opponents.
And he had Colorado, too, to top it off.
In the last little, yeah, he had Coors, he's playing the Rockies again. I think he had one other bad matchup in there, you know, but with that said, in the 14 games that he's back, as you mentioned, he's been a lot better. The contact rate is way up. In zone is at 85.5%, which is right around league average. Contact rate up to 70% overall. Ground ball rate is way down. So he's hitting the ball in the air. That's not usually a problem for him. He's normally among the league leaders in a low ground ball rate, but he is hitting the ball hard, 50%. You know, the O swing is down, which is good. It's kind of up and down. But again, you know, how much is that? And how much is, you know, the fact that since he's been back, he's played the Nationals twice, the Cubs three times, Colorado three times. He has had the Yankees and the Brewers mixed in there. But yeah, so again, jury's still out a little bit, but I can definitely see being aggressive in with him. He's playing every day. He's moving up in that lineup. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be interesting. He could have been a good Tim Anderson replacement if you needed him, at least for now. So I could totally get it. If at this time of the year, I can see that as an option in certain formats for sure. JP Sears picked up in 63 leagues, as high as $32, came over the Frankie Montas deal. A lot of smart people were in on him this week, two-step week. I was not. He went five innings, no runs, three strikeouts against the Rangers. I talked about time and time again on this show. He just doesn't strike guys out, and that's just like a turnoff for me when I'm bidding on pitchers. Like, I'd rather gamble on Justin Steele not going deep into a game but getting me six plus Ks. So that's where I stand. But Sears has the pedigree. People are high on him. I was not. What's your thoughts on JP Sears?
Yeah, I was not. I'm in a weird place though, where I'm actually not even like going after pitching that much.
I think you went off of it. It was last week or the week before. You mentioned some of your pitching staffs, and yeah, you don't need starting pitching.
I mean,
good staffs.
Yeah, although you always got to be careful. You know, you can lose stuff quickly, especially as other teams like focus on what they're not doing as well on. But I just haven't been super aggressive. I'm just going to check out what he did today.
It was five shutout with eight whiffs. Okay.
Yeah. Just eight whiffs, 76 pitches. Which is fine, but only a 22% CSW. Yeah, I mean, the thing that worries me about him is just, you know, again, you got a great outing today, which is fantastic. But like you mentioned, 27 innings, 18 strikeouts, 17.6% strikeout rate. He does not walk guys, which is great. but he's also like not getting chases outside the zone, 27.8%. So he's required to be in the zone and he's given up a lot of contact. He just has a 208 BABIP and a 0.33 home run per nine. Yeah. And the thing about this is like, who does he have at the end of this week? Is it Seattle? Is that it? Is that what he's,
I think so.
What yeah. he's got. I think that's what it is. Let me just check. Yeah, he's got Seattle at the end of the week. And so they're like a better offense. They're not great. So I can definitely see why people kind of went after that. And he's already like bringing it. I mean, he could have a pretty bad start next in his next one and still be pretty decent for this week. But yeah, I just feel like there's a blowout. There's something bad around the corner for him. You can't do this sustainably in the major leagues.
Let me throw a comp out for you. Or who would you rather? A guy that we've talked about that pitches on the A's as well, that I know you're not a huge fan of for many reasons. Would you rather have J.P. Sears or Cole Irvin?
I think I'd rather have Cole Irvin.
So would
just,
I.
Just because yeah. he's been more successful,
yep.
you know, in the big leagues.
Goes deeper into games, more consistently, at least six innings type
thing. But honestly, it's a really good, it's a pretty good comp.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. Lefties, like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Limited yeah. strikeouts, both on the A's.
Limited like, opportunity to win.
Yeah, there's like they're very similar comps. That's why I wanted to ask. Because I know we talked about him a few weeks ago, and you mentioned many reasons why Irvin's not, unless like it's the deepest of leagues and you need to, whatever. But there's a lot of similarities between the two. And I was just wanting to get your opinions because there were some very smart people that were in on J.P. Sears this week. And I'm just like, I don't see it. Maybe I'm missing something, but we'll see. We'll see. Aaron Civale picked up in 61 leagues as high as $36, returning from the IL last week. He had two starts this week. First start couldn't have gone a whole lot better unless he got the W, which they blew. Six innings, one earned, 10 Ks against the Detroit Tigers, which was outstanding. It was a good two-step, get a pickup, in my opinion. It's pretty simple in that regard. What do you think?
Yeah, it was a friend of the pod, Dave Petrozello, who I think brought up like the number of curveballs he was throwing. Yesterday, he threw 44% curveballs. So far this year, he's at 27.1% on the season. And that was a really effective pitch for him. So whether or not he's going to continue to go back to that, you know, his curve, I'm just like cherry picking stats at this point, but I'm on his Baseball Savant page and his curve spin rate is 95th percentile. So I definitely think there's possibility there, but you know, so maybe if he goes with that curve a little bit more, let me just see what this pitch does. Because I think what's challenging is oftentimes like when somebody comes off the IL or we have a small sample size to go off, we're able to hone in on that and be like, oh, like this is really great. Oh, 19.5% curveball. Swinging strike rate, 41.5% O swing, 75.9% in the zone. So that could be a real game changer for him. You know, you look at guys like, I mean, not that there's many similarities, but like Shohei Ohtani, you know, like I was watching him pitch the other day. He's throwing like 25% fastballs, you know, and like you can be effective, you know, doing that. And obviously the Guardians know that and they're great at developing pitchers. Civale has had his fair share of, you know, nice little runs. But I do, you know, and he's got super high BABIP, super low strand rate. You know, the home runs is reasonably about where he should be. He's got 18% K minus walk. Again, lower, but, you know, there are some signs of progress there overall. And I think maybe that does have to do with the curveball usage being up. Yeah, it's up 10% this year. So yeah, so I think there's maybe something, a little something there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot to like about him. We'll see. Like, and it's a great division to pitch in, and he's one of those guys that he'll have a blow up from time to time, but more often than not, he brings a pretty good floor into the action for you. So he's not going to usually crush you. I don't want to say never because he will, but more often than not, he's going to put you in a good place to win. So I liked that one quite a bit. We talked about this gentleman a lot last week because one of Toby's biggest pickups, Elias Montero, picked up in 60 leagues as high as $31. The ironic part, if you look at his game logs, he hit better on the road before he went to Coors. He's still fine in Coors, but he hit better on the road than in Coors. So we'll see where it goes. But bottom line is they keep playing him pretty much every day. So that's good. They go back to Coors this weekend. The weird thing is mostly this whole season, it's been like a full week of Coors, no Coors, full week, no. it's almost the rest of the season. It's half and half almost every week now. So keep that in mind going forward. It might change every now and then, but for the most part, it's like half and half. But you talked a lot about Montero last week. Anything new on him?
Let's just peek right in here. I have some skin in the game, as you mentioned.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So BABIP's really high, strikeout rate is really high, but I think his contact rate is fine. It's a little low. He's got one home run, a 5% home run per fly ball. He's got six barrels and only one home run. Come on, give the guy a break. Give him some pop. All my teams have 105 home runs so far this year. Come on, just give us a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's playing every day. I mean, like, I think he's played every single day since the start of last week, and he is going to be playing half his games at Coors, and he's in the lineup every week, which I think is key, especially playing third base. Like, he's third base eligible, and that's a weak spot for sure. So yeah, I like it. I like it. Give me some more. Hope he gets on a little bit of a heater, you know, at least from a power perspective, because he certainly deserves a little bit more pop.
Yeah, I'm with you. And with, you know, like I said, you got Coors coming up. I've got the Giants this weekend, and you're going to get a little Coors action. Like, the fact they're playing them every day is impressive. So ride the wave while you can. This one's a shocker. Michael Wacha picked up in 57 leagues as high as $76. I guess the shocker part was he returned from the IL, and he went seven shutout with nine Ks against the New York Yankees. Man, do they miss Joey Gallo. It's amazing. But what's your thoughts on this walk? We've talked about Walker all season. He's always like picked up for two steps, done this, that. He's performed this year, though. It's crazy looking at Walker. 2.44 ERA, does have the 4.07 xFIP, so definitely some luck involved. Not a ton of strikeouts, you know, the 11.7% K to walk, but he's like getting the job done if you're looking for ratio help, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about Michael Wacha. He's one of those guys where it's like, yeah, he doesn't deserve anything he's gotten this year. Yeah. He's been god-awful from a skills perspective, but he somehow managed to do it. You know, the fastball velocity is up to about as high as it's been, you know, in his last start over the course of the year. He probably threw his changeup a lot. Let's see. No, he threw his changeup less. Who knows what the hell I'm talking about. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I have, you know, yeah, just 234 BABIP.
Yeah, I can't.
82% strand rate when his career is at 73.4%. His career BABIP's at 298. He's got a 9.4 swinging strike rate, 11.7% K minus walk. There's just nothing compelling here. Like, and his home runs per nine, like career is the last few years, 1.66, 2.38, 1.85, and all of a sudden 0.81. I don't know, man. I don't know.
He's a guy I've rostered a couple times for his two steps. That was it. Like, I knew for a fact I'm dumping him the next week. But I just pulled up. Like, he's got at Baltimore this week, and he's got versus Tampa Bay next week. Baltimore's been sneaky. Not saying, like, you can't get it, but he's been getting everybody somehow. But it's like, you're just waiting for that blow-up to come. I'd be careful, folks. Just be very careful. Luis Ringifo picked up in 56 leagues as high as $35. It's time to buy him. I've been saying I was for a long time like, no. Well, he's playing every day, hitting third for the Angels since the All-Star break, hitting 293 with 13 extra base hits, three of them home runs. He actually hit his fourth home run tonight off of Robbie Ray. Has a couple stolen bases. He's only striking out 12.6% of the time. He's getting the job done. It's not crazy. He's not a ton of power, but he's very productive right now. And, you know, it's tough to ignore, Toby.
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. I think the challenge with him is just like the lack of other things. You know, it's kind of like one of those situations where, sure, like over the course of the full season, he's probably like 12-8 guy or something like that, which is fine. But like, I don't know. I mean, hitting third, like obviously you go after him in a 15 teamer, you know, he's long gone. In a 12, I don't know if there's enough there for me. Obviously he hit a home run today, so you struck gold there. But I also don't see much change. Like there's an increase in his contact rate, decrease in his ground ball rate, but also a decrease in his hard hit rate over the same period of time. Let's see. He's got 8 home runs, 11 barrels. Now, so he's about where he should be, 109.3. Yeah, I mean, he's like about what he is. And, you know, the batting average is certainly helpful. And where he's hitting is beneficial as well. I think that helps him out considerably with the runs and RBI. So, yeah, he's fine. I wouldn't really be going after him in 12s, though. I don't know if there's enough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very, very tough. Yeah. You're talking about speculative ads. Next up, Manny Margot picked up in 55 leagues as high as $38. He's rehabbing down in Durham right now. I was looking for an exact date for his return. I haven't seen that just yet, but he did play tonight, scored a run, got a couple hits, it looks like. He should be back here pretty soon, it looks like. Hopefully the end of this week, if not early next week. So not a bad outfield guy to go spec on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's not much analysis that we have to do here. I just think, you know, it's one of those spec situations. And he could come back. He could play every day. Let me just check really quickly. You know, you got a Rosarin out there. You got Siri. So maybe his stuff is impacted. Peralta. So you do worry a little bit, I think, about whether he ends up on the short side of the platoon a little bit, or at least in like a, you know, a mix and match type of thing. Rosarin is going to play every day, Peralta and against righties. Siri, like, again, like the hitting isn't that great, but defensively he's elite. I don't know. Is Margot that good defensively? I mean, I know he's obviously fast, but I don't know if
I don't think he's better than Siri. Let's put it that way. Siri's a pretty darn good defender.
Yeah. Let's see. What do we got for, I mean, I'll go to whatever I normally look at, which is DRS. Yeah, so he's like, he's been a zero in 2022 in 310 innings, zero defensive runs saved. What is it? Siri's probably like way above that.
He should be.
Yeah, I mean, I know that everybody listens to the podcast to hear us read out mumble jumble of defensive runs saved, but yeah, like, you know, Siri,
and that's what the Rays look for. So it's true.
Yeah. I mean, like in 450 innings, Siri's 8 defensive runs saved.
Yeah.
And then let's see. I bet, like, if we go to leaderboards and we go to fielding and we go to outs above average, like, wow, Jonathan Scope has the most outs above average. Can you believe that?
That's a good thing since he can't hit.
Yeah, so Siri is number 7 on outs above average.
Yeah.
He's prevented 10 runs. His outs above average is 11. And that is that's in a limited number of innings as well. And then Margot. Oh, that's interesting. Margot's like not even on here. I guess I got to change the innings thing.
Yeah, he hasn't played as many.
Yeah, I'll just go to like...
I go to like 200 or something.
Yeah, let's go try this again here. Oh, it's Margot. Yeah, Manny Margot is -2 outs above average. So again, like I would not be surprised if he ends up in a platoon with Peralta and maybe spells Siri every once in a while. But I do think that the Rays place such a high value on that center field defensive position that I think it'll be tough to maybe displace him. But I could be absolutely, totally, ridiculously wrong on that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It'll be interesting. If he plays every day, he's a stud. So hopefully that pans out. Got a couple more here before we go over our weekly moves, but I wanted to ask you about, because we talked, Rowan Wick was added, Ian Kennedy, guys we talked about last week, of course. But I wanted to ask you about Alexis Diaz. 55 leagues, as high as $38. We always say don't play Reds roulette. It's ugly. Hunter Strickland's burned us. Many of them have burned us. But Diaz has been filthy. Like, we talk about guys like Montero and some other guys from Seattle. Diaz has been nuts. He's got a couple saves over his last five appearances, not giving up runs, getting all the strikeouts. He's been very, very good. So would you have any, like, I had some spec bids on him as like a fourth or fifth option, just because I'll take the ratios and the strikeouts. What's your thoughts on Alexis Diaz? Cause he's not quite deserving of two trumpets, Timmy Trumpets, like his brother, but he's getting pretty close, it looks like.
Yeah. You know, I think we talked about him, I think a couple weeks back. I don't know if there's anything that's changed dramatically. Maybe there has been something that changed dramatically. Yeah. I mean, over the last 15, he's 70% in zone contact, 42% strikeout rate.
Yeah, he's been filthy.
37% O swing, 20.7% swinging strike rate, 10.5% walk rate. Yeah, he's been unreal good. Mm-hmm. Man, I always hate myself when I see these guys like this.
So I had
who are doing this stuff. Who are doing? I mean, this is insane. Like the numbers he's
dominating,
putting up,
dominating.
It's unbelievable. And here I am thinking he has a walk rate issue. Right? He's like in his last 10 games, his in zone contact is 68.5%, which is insane. He's got 42.5% K rate and O swing. He's got a 5% walk rate and a 24.6% swinging strike rate.
Yeah,
filthy. I mean, that literally is probably better than his brother on like all accounts, honestly.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Man, he should be on some of my teams and he's not. That's unfortunate. Yeah.
That's why I just wanted to bring him up, because I know many of us have written him off. Many of us say don't play Reds roulette, and for very good reasons. Like, it just burns you left and right. But I'm at the point with Diaz, even if he's not getting saves, he's doing everything else. Like, he is so good right now. He is that guy. Like, he's a Devin Williams type before Devin got the job. He's like so many of these guys we talk about at this point in the season, when you're looking for that last starter to throw in your lineup, Diaz might be a better option. He might get you like 8 Ks on the week in like two innings or something. So it's just like, it's what he's, and I know you only get 6 outs in two innings, but if you look at his stats, or two appearances, I'll say, let's put it that way, because he goes an inning and 2/3 sometimes. He's filthy, absolutely filthy. So I got to keep on your radar, folks, and you can get him probably pretty cheap, because yeah, that's the way things are going these days. All right, speaking of getting things cheap and how fab goes these days, Toby, let's go over our fab results. Let's talk fab, my friend. How'd things go for you this past week?
Pretty good. It felt like a productive weekend or week, or I don't know. Fab day. So starting off, it was actually like there was a crap ton of bids in all my leagues. I had like very deep. I had some very deep conditionals where I didn't get anybody. So I mean, make of that what you will. Lane Thomas added for $6. Dropped Lewin Diaz, $1 backup. Added Rougned Odor. I got him a lot of places. 6 righties on the docket for the O's. Who do they have? They've got Toronto. They've got they've got 2 righties against Toronto, 1 righty against the Cubs, and then righties for the Red Sox, but that's Crawford, Waka, and Pivetta. So maybe we get like the Waka regression game. Nothing against any of my friends that have Waka, but, he's do that. So he was kind of a net positive guy overall. And I had him at a few places. I also picked up Jose Siri, 7 games, this week. So hoping for maybe a few stolen bases, maybe luck out and get a homer, or so. And hopefully he hits over 150. Dropped Kyle Isbell. Isbell was only playing every other game. It seemed like him and I think it was Eaton, were just swapping, like playing every other day. And that's Isbell his build's actually been good, but just hard to have a guy in your lineup when he's only playing like three games a week. And then picked up John Schreiber, dropped Will Crow. Thanks for nothing, Will Crow, last week. $1. Schreiber, we already have Whitlock in this league, and it's a standalone. So getting Whitlock and Schreiber before the Barnes save today, it felt like, you know, we were in good shape to get those saves, but, you know, whatever, saves suck. Another league, this one I had to go deep. I think how many, like, I would say there was at least 20 bids before any of mine were it. I picked up Greg Allen, dropped Avi Garcia. You know, I just think waste of a season for him. Him and Soler were all gone. Probably should have been gone earlier, but just really disappointing seasons for both of them. And I had them a lot of places, which is kind of sad when I think about it. My pitching has been so good and the hitting has just not been able to do it. Partially my fault. So yeah, Greg Allen, who was a guy I picked up a few places. I picked up Carl Edwards Jr. for $17, dropped Kyle Finnegan, FU Nats. Thanks a lot. Like, Finnegan doesn't sniff the saves for 2 weeks. And then you're like, oh, guess what? We'll like mix this up. Fantastic. Great job. Rugnado Odor, added him, dropped Garrett Cooper, added Greg Allen, dropped Evan Longoria. Thank you as well, Longoria, for hitting that home run. Nelson Velasquez, added him, dropped Jorge Soler. I love Velasquez. I just wish he'd get consistent run, but he's on my bench in that league. Carl Edwards Jr., added him, dropped Eric Swanson, 19, runner up of 11. These are places that I need saves. So again, thanks a lot, Nats. Rugi Odor, dropped Avisail Garcia, added Greg Allen, dropped Jorge Soler. This is my 12-teamer coming up. Oh, I just had one bid. Carl Edwards, $3. Dropped Nick Lodolo, LOL. TGFBI is the only place I got Joey and Franmil. Franmil, 19. Soler, 8. Joey, 6. For Avi, 0 backups. Carl Edwards Jr. for 6. 0 backups. Lane Thomas for 4. 0 backups. Did I have him in the lineup? Did I get that home run today? That could have been sweet.
Could have been.
I did.
There you go.
I did. Yes.
That a boy.
Sweet. Although, like, I had Miggy Rojas on the bench and he had like a great day yesterday, but whatever.
It happens. That's usually the trade-offs we make. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And then finally, Barf. I added Carl Edwards Jr., dropped Raisel Iglesias, added Jose Siri, dropped Matt Carpenter, added Joey Meneses, dropped Avi Garcia, added Greg Allen, dropped Jorge Soler, added Taryn Vavra, and dropped Kevin Newman. Favre had a decent little game, I think.
Yes,
did I start him, though? Or was he on my bench?
If it's Barf, I hope you
start. No, he's in there. Yeah, he's in there. He's in there,
battling.
Baby.
We're battling.
Are we battling? Let's see.
It's Reed. Sammy's taking
you,
off.
You've gone on a run.
It's been me, you, and Eno are hanging out second, third, and fourth.
Oh, man, there's
it's ironic. Like that corner of the draft room, Toby. All four of us, that corner of the draft room. Just throwing that out there.
We are smart individuals, honestly. Yep. I mean,
that's what we
let's be real for a moment. A little bit of sad news. I'm not doing Barf football this year.
I know. I heard. I saw the email. I need to read the emails. I agreed. I have no idea what we're doing. We changed the format and everything. I have to go figure it out. So, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I haven't done football research yet. I haven't even started researching. This could be entertaining.
Honestly, like, you know, I've just been so bad in that league every single year. I just feel like it's not fair to people who actually know what they're doing. And honestly, like, I'm ready for this year to be over.
Take a breather.
I just want to take a breather. I'm going to say it on this podcast right now, Bubba, and I expect you to hold me to it. I'm only going to do like maybe 3 DCs, 2-3 DCs.
Before the new year or after the new year?
No, I'm serious. I spend so much of my life doing the waiver wire and then setting lineups on Monday night or Monday morning. No, not even Monday mornings. It's Sunday nights. And then also on Thursday nights, like, again, it's, you know, it's of my own choosing, but I don't know. I don't know who's on any of my DCs. You know, it's one of those things where you like, I have 8 this year compared to like whatever I had like 15 last year. And it's just like, I don't even know who's on each team, you know? And like, I literally am like, do I change my lineup after like seeing these lineups that have come up? Like, do I actually go through and search for the guy and like change him? And it's just like, that's not a good place to be in, you know? So I'm just going to do a couple, just make sure I'm in the mood, but
okay.
Yeah.
I'll hold you to it.
All right. Deal.
You got it. All right. My fab results for the week. First of four OCs, Vaughn Grissom dropped Jaime Candelario 46-33. Got me some Jock Jams 8-0. Here's one for you. Because the Giants have a lot of good, right? They have like five righties in seven games, two in Coors. I got him 8-0. And guess who I dropped? Joey Votto. He's gone.
Joey Votto.
It's been bad. Gone. It's been a bad year for Joey Votto. I started making some cuts here in the last few weeks, and Joey Votto made it to the top of the list this week. So he's hitting like 212 this year. Also, I added Lamont Wade Jr., dropped Mitch White 8-0 as well. So loaded up on some Gigante bats that aren't doing jack diddly so far this week. Next, OC, got my boy Emmanuel Rivera 11-1. Jaime Candelario, love me some Rivera. Got Bryson Stott, dropped Joey Votto again 9-1. Stott's been crushing it lately. I know he got a stolen base last night. Not sure what he did tonight, but he's hitting towards the top of the order, playing very well. Big fan of his. Ramon Urias dropped Eduardo Escobar 3-0. Aledmys Diaz dropped Tim Anderson 3-2. Just kind of a lot of spec bids on some stuff there. Next OC, Vaughn Grissom dropped Leody Taveras 22-1. Grabbed Eduardo Rodriguez, dropped Mitch White. We'll talk about Erod in a bit. We had a question on that one. 6-0. I'll take that. Added Nick Gordon, dropped Adam Frazier 3-0. Added Garrett Whitlock, dropped Nate Eovaldi 3-0. If you can't guess, Toby, that's the league where no one pays attention anymore. Talking about that. That's why I was like just putting small bids in. Like, oh, we'll see how this one goes. And boom, 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 boom. Only guy I didn't get was Lance McCullers. He went for $12. $12. My backup bid was $11. I was just like laughing. I'm like, this is this league. It's unbelievable. My last OC got Erod. This one I went big because I had like 300, almost 400 bucks still for some reason. I just kept losing all my big bids this year. So I wanted to make sure I got Erod, dropped Joe Barlow 78-8. Got Vaughn Grissom, dropped Matt Carpenter 66-41. Grabbed Bryson Stott, dropped Yadiel Hernandez 12-6. Added Emmanuel Rivera, dropped Jaime Candelario 11-8. And that league had a bunch of moves. The Guilds tweeted it out because he's crushing us in that league. But like, we're all battling to just get like in the money, and there was a lot of moves. So I respect that league quite a bit. A lot of action still. One of my OCQs got Vaughn Grissom, dropped Tim Anderson 21-4. Bryson Stott dropped Jonathan Scope 8-0. Emmanuel Rivera dropped Candelario. Savali dropped Yadiel. Whitlock dropped Eovaldi. Nate Eovaldi found the chopping block. My other OC got Bryson Stott, dropped Tim Anderson, got Erod, dropped Brubaker, got Rivera, dropped Candy. Savali dropped Yadiel. Lamont Wade Jr. dropped Scope. You see a trend in my picks yet? You can find it, I guarantee you. Barf. Got Vaughn Grissom, dropped Cesar Hernandez 66-33. Then you guys are sleeping at the wheel, Toby. I got Erod, dropped Aaron Hicks 57-0. Not even a backup bid. And Justin Mason goes on the sleeper and the bus saying you have to spend everything you can on Erod because he's the best pickup you can make. He even put a bid in for him. What a bum. But I just want to give Justin Mason a hard time. Grabbed Emmanuel Rivera, dropped Jaime Candelario. Grabbed Christian Arroyo, dropped Raimel Tapia. Arroyo's playing sneaky good for you deeper league players. Keep an eye on him. And then TGFBI, I got Erod, dropped Barlow. I had a lot of money on this one too. Emmanuel Rivera dropped Tim Anderson. Jose Suarez dropped Mitch White. Suarez dealt tonight against Seattle. Added Jake McCarthy, dropped Yadiel Hernandez. Then added Lamont Wade Jr., dropped Jonathan Scope. So fun week. Fun week in Fab. Now let's get to the fun. I am looking forward to this discussion in a big, big way. We have like two questions, I think, this week. We'll start with the one. Ben Tidd, our buddy, BreakingBen_T. How useful do you guys think Eduardo Rodriguez will be once he returns? Before Toby slams us, I wanted to throw it out there that before he got hurt, the outing before he got hurt, below 40, I got 3.70 ERA, decent strikeout rate.
What was his whip?
We don't want to talk about it. His his rehab has been going great. His game tonight, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 11 Ks. He had an immaculate inning in the fifth. And he's scheduled to start against the Giants on Monday. Yes, his whip might not be great. That's fine. But he's got strikeouts. He's going to get innings. I'm a fan. There's not a ton of guys on the wire that can give you what Erod can give you. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I'm a big Erod fan. Toby's going to prove us wrong, Ben. But I'm with you, Ben. Go get Erod.
Yeah. First of all, Ben Tidd, second place overall in the main event.
Go get them, Ben.
You don't need to ask us questions, man. You need a podcast. You should be doing this. Here is Eduardo Rodriguez. This is his WHIP throughout his career. Starting in 2015, 1.29. 2016, 1.30. 2017, 1.28. 2018, 1.26. 2019, 1.33. 2021, 1.39. 2022, 1.33.
You know what I call
his
that?
His career consistency. career rip is 1.31. I don't know who we think this guy is.
We know he's a high whip, high strikeout, potentially decent
exactly.
ERA guy.
Totally. That is indeed what he is. So again, there are worse players you could add for sure. But do not be surprised when Eduardo Rodriguez blows up. I mean, what are you expecting to get out of him, right? It's like, are you expecting to get a lot of wins? No, not really.
Strikeouts, and more strikeouts.
I mean, strikeouts are fine.
Yeah.
You know the situation when you can put him in there or not. Just don't convince yourself that he's good.
Ben, when you win first and the overall, make sure you let Toby, it's because of E-Rod. Just let him know it was because of E-Rod, and he can whip it all over the place.
You want to know something? I don't want to put too much undue pressure on Ben because he's been a listener of the show for a long time. Yeah. Ben's great. Yep. Fantastic. I have never met him in person, but I anticipate that when he finishes very high in the main event that he will, find his way to Vegas, or I'm not going to be able to be at first pitch this year, which kind of sucks. But
I'd love to meet you there, Ben. Come on down.
Yeah, Bubba would love to meet you there. But you know what I'm going to replace the cover of our podcast with is similar to how Baseball HQ, every winner of the main event or whatever always has used the Baseball Forecaster, and they always have that quote on the back that's like, This is the best thing in the face of the earth. And they're right about the forecaster. But I'm going to put a quote like that from Ben Tidd that says, Ben Tidd, overall main event overall winner, Ben Tidd, the Bubba and the Bat Flip, Bench with Bubba, Bat Flip Crazy podcasts have been essential to my development as a fantasy baseball player.
I like
without their contributions to my understanding of the game, I could never have been in the place that I am right now.
I think you're onto something there.
The PR person drafts the quote and then the person approves it. That's what's going to happen here. Every adjective possible about how brilliant we are, Bubba, is going to be in that quote for sure.
I think it sounded great. It sounded really, really good.
I mean, I've thought a lot about this.
Yeah, honestly. It sounded really good. I think Ben would agree. I think you would. Shake your head and blink twice, Ben, if you agree. Thank you. I see it.
All joking aside, Ben, he's
awesome.
Crushing it. You seem very level-headed, smart dude. Go out there.
Get it, man. Get
crush
it.
We're rooting for you. We're rooting. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of friends at the top, and so we're rooting for everybody. But Ben, I mean, if you tell us that you'll give us the quote, then you are who we're rooting for sure.
All right. Our buddy Brian Vogel has a funny question for you. With Vaughn Grissom a lock for rookie of the year, how many MVP votes does he gain?
I'm actually voting for his dad, Marquise Grissom.
It's not his dad. I thought it was Marquise Grissom.
He was Marquise. I thought Grissom's he was his kid.
Marquise Grissom's son's Marquise Grissom Jr. and he's a pitcher.
Oh, because I knew his son was in. Yeah. I knew his son was in the minors, and
the same thing when he got called up, but I went and looked at Fangraphs first.
Holy moly! All right. I'm still voting for Marquise Grissom for
you should right in right
guy,
in votes.
Old guy right of the old guy of the year.
I love it.
For sure, yeah. Marquise Grissom is going to take this down.
All right, Joe G., another loyal listener to the show, has got a question for us. Who do you like the rest of the season, Joe Ryan or Aaron Civale? In need of wins, it's a mixed 12-team roto. You said Civale seems to have the softer schedule going forward. I would lean Civale as well. But Ryan's good. It seems like Ryan has more blow-up potential than Savali, if that makes sense.
Yeah, quick question. Marquise Grissom's best season. 308, 23 home runs, 28 steals, 106 runs, 74 RBI, 5.7% walk rate, 10.1% K percentage.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Baseball stats from back in the day, like we did that one show, are just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy the little stat lines they used to have compared to now.
It's still only a 117 WRC plus. I mean, which is fine, but
he was a leadoff hitter for like playoff contending teams every year, pretty much. It's crazy.
For sure. Savali and Ryan. Let me take a peek at Ryan. One of the things I remember, I think, you know, talking about a little bit was that Joe Ryan relies on a lot of deception. And so he was concerned about, you know, the second, the third time that teams started seeing him and whether he was going to kind of lose a little bit of that mojo in seeing them. He's faded pretty strongly quickly, right?
Yep.
The O swings down, the Z contacts around league average, K minus walk 16.9. Swinging strike 10.8. Yeah, let me just check the last little bit just to see what could be happening here. Let's go and look at the last five. And let's see what we got. Oh, like the Z contact's down. The strike rate is way up. The walk rate's down, man. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, the skills actually look pretty damn phenomenal there. Let me just check out our luck metrics here. His strand rate over his last five games is at 63.8%. His BABIP is at 343, and I'm gonna guess his home run per nine is like through the roof, which again,
it's not horrible, but it's not great.
Home run per fly ball is elevated at 17.1%. Which I think is a little bit, if I remember what was going on there, like a little bit of regression.
That was his problem before. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is tough because honestly, looking at those skills are phenomenal over the last little bit for our buddy, Joe Ryan. I think I would go Ryan on this one, honestly. You know, here's the earned runs he's given up. 2, 5, 1, 10, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 3, 4, 1, 1. Like it's pretty much just the 10 earned runs, right? Like that's what absolutely destroyed him. So I would, again, like, you know, I think he gave up five home runs in that game. That's brutal. That's Garrett Cole level. Bad. So I would lean Ryan, honestly, just looking at the skills, they're really good. I think he's been unlucky. I don't know. You mentioned Savali's got the softer schedule.
Savali's next two starts, Seattle next week, Seattle the following week. I got Ryan gets the Giants next week. And then
he's got Texas end of this week too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I would go Ryan. I think Ryan's the better pitcher, but I can see, I don't think it's that far apart.
It's very close. It's very, very close. And they're both in the Central. Like right now they're playing games outside of the Central, but they'll be back in there to finish the season most likely. So you'll get some cushy matchups more often than not. Given the Guardians, I almost did it. The Guardians do not strike out very much. So keep that in mind. That's an interesting one to watch.
Ahmed
as well.
Rosario.
Yep. And the White Sox. Oh, Andrés Giménez, boys and girls. Whew, what a season. What a season.
Holy cow. Yeah. Really glad I drafted him last year.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel about Christian Walker. Don't you worry. But all right. We're going to wrap it up there, Toby. Any final thoughts? Week 20 fab in the book. You said six more fab periods to go. We are closing in.
Yeah, no, I think just keep on plugging away. I mean, it's the same constant drum beat. So let's go get it. Especially Ben Tidd.
Ben Tidd, get it. I can't wait to see all the fab for these prospects coming up. It's going to be a doozy this weekend. Again, it's a good, what leagues have money and who wants to overspend? It's going to be a fun one. Looking forward to it. Hope Grissom plays the rest of the year. Otherwise, I'll be very cranky, but we'll see how that one goes. Make sure you guys check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BDIntric, and this was your week 20 fab recap on Bubba the BatFlip, episode 133. Catch you guys next time.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.